an amazing thing to be able to bless people? Whether it's one confirmand or 15, whether it's little children or adults, to seek God's blessing and to raise our hands as a way of offering blessing. The text I'm going to read, and I'm aware of the time, so I will keep it briefer, but the text I'm going to read is from John 17, often called Jesus' high priestly prayer. And if you look ahead, and it'll be important to have your Bibles open, if you turn to John 17 and then look ahead at the next chapter, you'll see what it is. That he prayed this prayer on the night when Judas betrayed him. And then he was arrested and beaten and the next day executed. This prayer is one of the last things he did. One of the last things he did before his death here on earth. He prayed for those who would follow him. And not just past tense for the apostles back then, but for all who follow him. It's an expansive prayer. So I'll read from verses 6 through 19 of John 17. Jesus prayed to his Father and to our Father. I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them over to your word. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. A couple of things that I love to do are to preach, to teach, to tell people about Jesus, which are really important things for a pastor to be able to love to do. It'd be hard to do this if you didn't love to do that. And I love it when the lights come on, like working with our confirmation class, when occasionally the lights come on and there's an aha moment. And the longer I do this, and I assume this is true for many of you as well, the more years that I'm a follower of Jesus and study his word and worship and pray, the more there is to learn. The more there is to discover in the Bible and in prayer, and the more there is about worship to grow into, and the more integration of all of it into life, there's more and more and more. I remember reading years ago by one of the great Christian scholars that it was simply this, that no matter how long we stay at this, no matter how much we learn and know, we are always still beginners because there is so much more. The Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 11, this pinnacle book written at his height of maturity as a follower of Christ, suddenly he just breaks out into praise over the wonder of Jesus and the wonder of life in God. And he writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." This bursting of praise. There is so much more. As a pastor who has the privilege and the challenge of teaching middle school students in confirmation, teaching them about Scripture and hopefully whetting their appetite for more of Jesus, more of God, more of the Holy Spirit, working through hard questions of faith and sometimes coming back to the fact that it remains a mystery. Part of my joy and privilege in doing this is to open up that more and more and more. To encourage each of these students year by year to be on this lifelong path of learning more and more and more and growing more and more into this. But as complex and expansive as Scripture and theology can be, so much so that we are all still just beginners at faith. We're just beginners at this. There's also a beautiful simplicity about faith. A beautiful simplicity. The first three verses of the text I read from John 17 lay that out pretty clearly. Listen again to what Jesus prayed in verses 6 through 8. I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you have sent me. Jesus reveals himself to his followers, coming as the embodiment of God, God's truth, God's presence, God's word, the living word of God embodied in Jesus Christ. And those who receive him obey that word that he brings. They take it in, they listen, they ponder it, they accept it. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, Jesus said. He prayed. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. That's that beautiful simplicity. Jesus reveals, we receive. He reveals, we receive. And all this happens by his grace as he opens our hearts, our minds, our lives to the very truth he gives to us. It's what Paul wrote in Romans 9, or Romans 10 rather. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Heart, mouth, everything combined. Believing, accepting, receiving, and living into it. This is the center, the core, the nucleus of everything about faith in Jesus. He reveals, we receive, and then we take it in as our life operating system for everything in life. Verse 8 in this text is paraphrased in the message like this, where Jesus prays to his Father and our Father, they now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe you sent me. They believed. It all begins here. With an honest, open opening up of our lives to Jesus and what he reveals. There are so many more things about this text that we could go into, but we won't. But there's one more thing. Three times in what we read, in verses 6 through 19, Jesus prayed for God to protect his followers, to protect them. Verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them. And verse 15, my prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Protect, protect, protect. Jesus knew that this was a high-risk endeavor to follow him in this world that opposes and quickly turns the other way, in this world where there's this contender called the evil one. That word protect in Greek, however, It means more than just to guard or to wall off. The word for protect also means to watch over closely and to hold in reserve for later use. To watch over closely and to hold in reserve for later use or for other use. Like something that we hold precious and that we've set aside to be used later, not just to be hidden, but to be preserved. That greater use for which he protects us and for which he considers us precious and chosen comes up at the end of the prayer in verses 17 through 19. Sanctify them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. To be sanctified. It means to be set apart for holy use. To be set apart for holy use. To be made sacred. Basically, it's not that we suddenly get this holy aura around us or that we no longer sin or make mistakes. That's not it. Instead, it means that he sets us apart for something only he can do with us. He changes our lives. He conforms our lives to his life as preciously chosen people, set apart for something that he alone can do. That's what it is to be sanctified, to be made holy. That's the reason for which he's protecting us like this, to be used for his purposes. There is so much more that God has in store for each of us, for all of us, individually and together. More than we know right now. And so Confirmation Sunday is not just about our young people, or today one of our young people, Ben Jones, having completed assignments and made it through all the weeks of confirmation. That's part of it. That's a joyful part of it. But that's not the only part of it. Confirmation Sunday also functions as a time of all of us being reminded what this call is and seeking this unity in Jesus Christ together, where we are sanctified by his power to be used for holy purposes. Each of us individually, all of us together, that we may be one as Jesus and the Father are one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, for the call that you place upon us, life by life by life, and all of us together, help us to be faithful. Help us to receive what you give, to receive it into our hearts and our minds, into our life operating system, that we truly would become more and more like you every day. Protect us, sanctify us. Fill us up and send us out, we pray. In your name, amen. Let's stand as we sing.